Relations between the sexes are ailing in our time. Hundreds of prominent men in fields from entertainment to sports to business to politics have been credibly accused of gross sexual harassment and other forms of boorishness. The louts span the political spectrum, from Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes on the right to Al Franken and John Conyers Jr. on the left, and the toll continues to mount. Young people hardly date much, but they feel pressured into hooking up. Some millennials are giving up on sex altogether. 18-year-old Noah Patterson, a virgin, told the Washington Post that he preferred online porn to having a girlfriend. He said, "For an average date, you're going to spend at least 2 hours, and in that 2 hours, I won't be doing something I enjoy." Teenagers and even some preteens sext one another and sometimes find themselves facing child pornography charges. The percentage of adults who have never been married is at a historic high, 30%, and fewer than one-third of millennials say that having a successful marriage is one of the most important things in life. While many women proclaim themselves single by choice, others express frustration with the lack of marriageable men. In 2011, Kate Bolick described the proliferation of commitment-phobic men, which she believed had created a new dating gap. Marriage-minded women, she wrote, are increasingly confronted with either deadbeats or players. The so-called men's rights movement thrives online, encouraging men to see themselves as victims of the sex wars and to luxuriate in misogyny. The most talked-about cultural products of the past few years only occasionally offer models of nobility or even basic integrity between men and women. They range from rampant adultery, Mad Men, to incest and sex slavery, Game of Thrones. In HBO's Girls, the protagonist's boyfriend in the first few episodes is not really a boyfriend at all, but a sex partner, and not a very nice one at that. Hannah drops by Adam's apartment and is ordered to remove her clothes, to get on all fours, to stop talking, and to perform a variety of sex acts while he indulges the fantasy that she is a child with a Cabbage Patch lunchbox. How did we become so estranged and so strange? How did love and sex become battlegrounds where feminists decry rape culture while the manosphere hurls vicious insults at women in general? Modern feminism, I submit, must take at least some of the blame. Feminism deserves credit for helping women get the vote, securing equal pay, and obtaining full civil and political rights. Those are unmixed blessings. No reasonable person questions whether women should be treated as full legal equals to men. That is beyond debate. But did that full equality require the denigration of the nuclear family? Did it require the eager embrace of a sexual revolution that would dismantle the traditions of modesty, courtship, and fidelity that have protected women for centuries? Was it essential to declare a war between the sexes and to deem men the enemy of women? Was it necessary to seed our culture with bitterness that continues to this day? Let's start at the beginning. It is moving to read the Pleas for Women's Equality from Mary Wollstonecraft, the 18th century proto-feminist, who argued that women could be rational creatures and deserve to be educated. In A Vindication of the Rights of Women, 1792, Wollstonecraft wrote, "Let woman share the rights, and she will emulate the virtues of man, for she must grow more perfect when emancipated." The great British philosopher John Stuart Mill declared in 1869 that the legal subordination of one sex to the other is wrong itself and is now one of the chief obstacles to human improvement, and it ought to be replaced by a principle of perfect equality that doesn't allow any power or privilege on one side or disability on the other. In his treatise, The Subjugation of Women, 1869, Mill scoffed at the notion that women were less intelligent than men, a widely held view at the time, and rebutted those who protested that women had achieved little in the arts and sciences. Mill was scornful. "Our best novelists have mostly been women," he wrote, mentioning, in particular, Madame de Stael and George Sand. Of the latter, he wrote that it would be impossible to find a finer specimen of purely artistic excellence than the prose of Madame Sand, whose style acts on the nervous system like a symphony of Haydn or Mozart.